SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final before we enter conference championship weekend in the National Football League. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for one more hour to continue to set the stage and preview both of our conference title matchups for Sunday. NFC Championship game between the Eagles and the Commanders. Who earns a spot in Super Bowl 59 in the Big Easy? Same question for the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday evening inside Arrowhead in Kansas City. DRS will continue to break down the games. We'll look at the numbers and where those markets are. And, of course, we'll give you a conference championship Sunday pick six. Slightly different because there's not as many options, but we'll have some fun to end out this hour with best bets entering the weekend.
Yes, we get minutes closer to the kickoffs on Sunday afternoon, which is what we've been setting the table for at the Sports Grid Network all week long. It'll finally come to fruition. You get to see these Titanic games play out, win your bets, lose your bets, cry in your beer, cheer in celebration at your team's victory, and then we wait 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. So we got a big hour to get the people ready for anticipation of what they need to expect on Sunday afternoon.
And, of course, Donnie Wrightside will be live alongside Kevin Walsh and Jolisi on Sunday for Pro Football Today. New times, right? 9 to noon, if I'm not mistaken. 9 a.m. to 12. Yeah. 9
up,
to noon.
Up a little
Eastern
earlier.
On the
home
sports.
A little earlier.
Yeah.
Yep,
come on.
We'll be ready.
No weather to contend with in South Jersey, Philadelphia this weekend. Nope. Just a stop at whatever pizza joint DRS wants to hit.
Steaks.
Get a pie. Yeah. You're going to be ready to go. Again, question needs to be asked. Wife and the kiddo, they going to be watching the game with you on Sunday? Or are you down in the bunker getting ready to go for the birds?
Yeah, no, I'll be down in the bunker, but sometimes they'll mosey on down. But they understand what the gameplay. Usually it ends up like this. The wife and the kid are in the family room watching the game upstairs. I'm down in the bunker watching the game. And then it sort of figures into the kid might stay on the second level. The wife then migrates to the bedroom and watches the game. I watch on the lower. So we have all three levels involved with the Philadelphia Eagles. And just a matter of how good the Eagles are doing, do I travel all the way up to the bedroom just to tell the wife, did you see that play? Knowing she probably didn't see that play, but I want to make sure she thinks she saw that play.
I love that nobody spends any time with anybody except for a couple of commercial breaks to talk about. I get it. Listen, I do get it. And DRS, there is the handicaps that we have for Sunday. They're the best bets and the picks that we will make and the wagers we will bet. There is also what we want to see. And I understand it, right? Part of the conversation about the Chiefs' dynastic run. Ooh, it's fun to start to look at an elite team playing at an elite level year in, year out. And then it becomes, all right, we've seen enough of this already. 7 consecutive years in an AFC championship game. Can we get the Buffalo Bills to a Super Bowl and to have Bills Mafia take over the Big Easy for the first time in more than 3 decades would be Buffalo playing in a Super Bowl game. It would be fun to see the rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, make history. We just saw the Eagles and the Chiefs 2 years ago. We don't want to see it again, right? So what do the people want for our Super Bowl matchup in Super Bowl 59? We find out together in Fade the Public.
It's time for Fade the Public.
All right, that's got to come to a close. We love Jolisi, but that is done. A lot of intel coming from him, no doubt about it, for Sunday. And again, Donnie, that would be the betting perspective, right? What is the smart play? Do you think you have an edge on the spread, the money line, the total, whatever it might be? And then there is what we want to see. And the public is making it pretty clear. They want to see something we have not in a very long time. The Commanders are playing in their first conference championship game since 1991. Of course, they won a Super Bowl that season. The Bills have not reached a Super Bowl since 1993. We're talking more than three decades for both franchises. So nearly 53% of the public saying, yeah, we want Buffalo and Washington in New Orleans in just two weekends. Bills, Eagles, 27.5. The game the public does not want to see was Super Bowl 57, which is what we saw a couple of years ago in Phoenix, the Chiefs and the Eagles, only 8.2% of the vote. But really, the public just doesn't want to see Kansas City back in yet another Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, that's really the prevailing notion, even though the networks would want to see it, because the one thing that the Chiefs have over everybody is they're going to have the Swifties. They'll tune in and watch the football game, which is always good for the ratings. But also, number two, we love to see dynasties fall. Like, you might want to cheer for the dynasty and be a fan of it, but equal amounts of people want to see the dynasty fall, which would be the Kansas City Chiefs. But also understand this from a Bills perspective. It's like nightmare fuel for them. You say, well, why would that be? And if you remember that run to four straight Super Bowls back in the day, and you're going to say, all right, hey, Bills, you're going to face an NFC East team. They're like, come on, man. We're 0-4 against the NFC when we get to the Super Bowl, which is what they were in the early 90s. And no matter what, you're going to have an NFC East team, whether it be the Bills or the Commanders, lining up here in the Super Bowl. But for me, of course, I'm going to vote for Eagles, Bills. It's fun. It's exciting. My team is there. You see the Bills, Commanders get the 52% because people just like things new. And also, there's a lot of people that say, I just hate the Philadelphia Eagles, because outside of, are there Commanders fans now? Because it's like been like 25 years where you never ran into a Commanders fan anywhere. And now all of a sudden, the Commanders in the Super Bowl, so we're led to believe. I just think the people want to see the Bills, which I agree with. It's a fun new brand, and it's 2 weeks of not talking about, can Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl when it seems like they're there every single year? So I understand the people with the newness, and I get the way this poll's going.
It would be a great atmosphere to have Bills Mafia make their way to the Big Easy. That would be an electric atmosphere, no doubt about it. I really do think it's a fade of the Chiefs in terms of public sentiment. Everybody would want to see Kansas City sit at home and watch a Super Bowl right alongside, take in the commercials and eat some wings. But again, when you look at what is most likely to happen, Chiefs-Eagles is still that betting favorite at plus 145, a rematch of Super Bowl 57 just 2 years later in Super Bowl 59. But it's only 1.5 in favor of KC and about 0.25 of difference on the money line. So the Eagles and the Bills, not all that far behind. If the Commanders were to pull the upset in the NFC Championship game, that's where you get the big plus money prices. And Donnie, it does go to say that the Super Bowl 59 favorite entering this conference championship weekend is not Kansas City, it's not Buffalo, it's the team out of the NFC that is nearly a touchdown favorite at home. It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's simple. It's just paint by numbers right now. You're looking at the team that's most likely to advance. It is the Philadelphia Eagles. Therefore, in order to win a Super Bowl, Ben, what do you have to do? You got to at least get there. So that's why the price points are set up that way. Then they'll fall back once we actually get the Super Bowl. If it's the Eagles, they'll go to that slight underdog, -1, -1.5, depending on injuries that happen in the NFC and AFC championship games. But that's the way it's going to play out. And for me, again, if the Eagles lose, it will be devastating. But Washington being in the Super Bowl will be fun to see, because a rookie quarterback who obviously is probably going to have an electric game in Philadelphia if they're able to upset them. That'll be a fun talking point, and specifically if it's lined up against the Buffalo Bills. But I think everybody once again would then unite in the Super Bowl by saying, please, just not the Chiefs again winning. So I think anybody that plays the Chiefs will probably be the public favorite just by default at that point.
The Eagles would be a slight favorite against both, or a slight underdog rather, against both Buffalo and Kansas City. 1.5 in money line prices, very reminiscent of what we have seen in the divisional round for Buffalo and Baltimore, and now in conference championship Sunday between the Chiefs and the Bills. What is really interesting, DRS, KC a slight favorite in Arrowhead, a slightly better priced winning a Lombardi trophy this year than Buffalo, but Buffalo a slightly larger favorite against Philadelphia than that of Kansas City against the Birds. Again, we're talking about 6 cents on the money line, but Buffalo minus 124, KC minus 118. And I do believe it is worth betting Philly right now to win Super Bowl 59 if you think they have the edge against the Commanders because you'll have a decent money line price for New Orleans by a couple of sets. We'll talk player specials next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Conference championship weekend around the NFL, and with two games between four teams hoping for two spots in New Orleans, there are so many Sunday specials to dive through. And not just to find a nice plus money price, but also how we see these games playing out in the individuals that will dictate what we witness this weekend. DRS most passing yards between the four quarterbacks in our two matchups come Sunday. Mahomes has the highest passing yards prop of 249.5. Both Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels kind of around the same number, 223 and a hook right now for Washington's rookie, 230.5 for Buffalo signal caller. Of course, we have talked about Jalen Hurts, and based maybe on the knee ailment, only 179 and a hook. If you had to look at one of those quarterbacks to throw for the most yards come Sunday afternoon, who would you wager on?
You're probably, I mean, Patrick Mahomes rightfully so at the plus 130 because he's going right against a defense that could, he'll probably get after that secondary. But the same thing, it's a shame that Jalen Hurts is a little bit banged up. Let's just say he comes in full throttle with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith on the outside, and now you also have a defense that's trying to stop Saquon Barkley. That is a monster price at 750. And we're not understanding that one of these games is like college football, like, hey, and we're supposed to get 800-plus yards of offense. They're going to throw it all around the lot. Yeah. Like, you can, is it going to be a surprise if 275 yards possibly wins it this weekend between these two football games as the leader? Hurts can get that at plus 750. Would I bet it? No, because I don't think that's the MO for their success here. But if you're taking a look at just game script themselves, we understand the Eagles have the best secondary in football. It's hard to throw on them. But if you are the Philadelphia Eagles up double digits in the second half, and you say, wow, Daniel's right, going to throw the football 45-plus times, that's not a bad price at plus 260. And the same way you look at Josh Allen, where you're saying, okay, Kansas City's got a great defense, but if they're down double digits in the second half, Josh Allen goes from 28 pass attempts to 38 pass attempts. It does make some sense. I understand, as I said, where Mahomes is plus 130. That's not where I look. If you said, Donnie, give me the two bets that you would rather take. I'm not taking Mahomes. I'm not taking Hurts. It would be between Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels because I think the game script will allow them to throw more than the two other quarterbacks.
And I think that's a natural thought, of course. Jaden Daniels is the largest underdog of this weekend. His team is catching 6.5 points. Sure, he has overcome the odds throughout his rookie season to win games outright as a dog in both of his first two career NFL playoff matchups on the road. But when you look at his number, Donnie, if the Eagles are going to be in full command, I don't think it's a shootout. I don't think they are going score for score on either side. I think it is that Philly defense winning the day in containing the sensational rookie on his historic run. I do believe Josh Allen makes some sense because if you believe, like a lot of the public does, that Buffalo is finally the team and is the time right now able to knock Kansas City off of the mountain atop the AFC, Josh Allen needs to have a career day where he throws for a buck 27 like last week against Baltimore and the Bills win that turnover margin 3-0. That's probably not how this game plays out. 275 for Josh Allen through the air, 50 rushing yards, and they contain Kansas City enough on that side of the football. To me, that's the picture for Buffalo. So that would be the way I would bet this, although I do think Patrick Mahomes has a big day against the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about most rushing yards. And of course, Donnie, when your prop is 125 and a hook and nobody else has a rushing yards prop north of 60, you're going to be a hefty favorite to have the most rushing yards of the weekend at minus 310. So let's basically say Saquon Barkley versus the field. Is there any chance come this weekend, Saquon Barkley does not end up with the most individual rushing yards of the conference championships?
Probably just by injury, and that's a horrible way to bet. Say, I'm just going to fade him because he might get injured at that point, but that's where his number is listed at, a minus 310 price in a football game. That's not like saying, hey, it's a basketball game. I have one game to play. I just need my guy to get like 20 points when he averages 30, and it's an easy layup. Understand that. There is a chance he can get injured. We're not expecting it, but I'm not laying a minus 310 price point. I'll tell you who I would bet. It's not Cook at 10-1. It's not going to be Daniels at 11-1. It's not even going to be Josh Allen at 16-1. Brian Robinson Jr. 23-1. Because if you do have one of those game scripts, which you saw last week, where you control the tempo, you're saying, you know what? We're going to use all three downs to get a first down, and on 4th-and-1, I'm going to run my quarterback around the edge to get 2 yards and continue that. Let's just say Brian Robinson Jr. can hit a home run, because the one thing we did see last week, and I understand it was snowy, Kyron Robinson had limited carries and a lot of yards. And when we're talking about Brian Robinson Jr., if their game script is correct and they have a lead, why can't he approach 75-plus yards in this game, which will put you in the ballpark? And yeah, normally you wouldn't say, like, well, why would you do that? It's 23-1. It's not 2-1. It's not 3-1. It's 23-1.
And he had 15 carries for 77 yards and 2 scores last week against Detroit. Kyron Williams, 19 carries, 104 against the Birds. By the way, Matthew Stafford did end up throwing for 324 yards. That could be another way of looking at Jaden Daniels leading conference championship weekend in passing yards if the Commanders are trailing for a majority of those final 2 quarters. Most receiving yards of the weekend, Travis Kelce, the shortest number at plus 420. Terry McLaurin barely back. A.J. Brown at a 5-1 price. Just 3 grabs for 24 yards for A.J. Brown in the first 2 games, DRS, for Philadelphia in this postseason.
Yeah, you look at that, and you would normally think it's Kelce, but doesn't it feel like there's like a ceiling on Kelce? Like, he's going to hit that number, but maybe 80 yards, maybe 90 yards at a top. Oh, Donnie, he just went over. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, what that focal point is. You want to look at the ceiling of players. And A.J. Brown, who can absolutely eat, which might only need 4 catches to get 110 yards in that direction, that's a nice price point at 5-1. Shakir, who have his advantages. Worthy, there's too many, like, let's just say, fish in the pond on that team to actually try to say, yeah, this guy's going to get 8 or 9 targets alone. But I could see A.J. Brown with a 8 to 9 target day when you know he's about the big play and he says he's finally healthy and ready to go. That's where I would look at here. Give me that nice 5-1 price on A.J. Brown with a couple big catches.
I agree as well. If you want a longer shot not listed in those top 5 numbers, Diami Brown at 14-1 for the Commanders. 89 receiving yards in the opening game against Tampa. Mm-hmm. 98 last week against the Lions. The guy has come on incredibly strong for this Commanders passing attack if you wanted a little bit of value. No way. Oh, man, we got some breaking news to break down on the other side of the break in Las Vegas.
Here.
With
right.
A very familiar face next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You might have seen our reactions right before the commercial break. This is why the report's starting to flood in the last 5 minutes or so about how the Raiders are hoping to address their head coaching vacancy in Sin City. From NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the Raiders are turning their attention to former Seahawks Super Bowl winning head coach Pete Carroll with hopes he'll be their new head coach. The two sides are in negotiations. No deal just yet. Both Adam Schefter and Rappaport saying the same thing, attempting to change the culture in Las Vegas. The Raiders target one of the all-time greats. And Pete Carroll is certainly that. Of course, was let go at the end of last season after 14 years as the head man in the Pacific Northwest, leading the Seattle Seahawks. Only one losing season in 14 years with Seattle, Donnie, but an intriguing hire for Pete Carroll at the age of 73, would be 74 years old come this upcoming September for Las Vegas to turn their attention to.
I like this move. And most people say, like, well, why? That's ridiculous. He needs to be a caretaker. This is a dead-end job for the next 2 to 3 years. It's perfect for Pete Carroll to go there. Exactly. He does. He needs a caretaker, and he'll be a caretaker of that organization. But I do think you're going to get structural, should I say infrastructure, that's going to build for the next couple seasons. And when you're trying to get the best and the brightest to go to the Raiders, where your selling point is, hey, you get to come out to Vegas and that's where you can live. And we'll say, what about the job itself? Don't worry about that. Let me show you some houses. Let me show you the weather. Let me show you the casinos and the shows and the food you can eat. But what about the football team? Don't worry about that, because you have three coaches in there that are unbelievable. Three quarterbacks that look like they're going to be unbelievable for at least the next decade at this point. That's a terrible job to take, but Pete will take it right now. So you know what? I'll get this job right, and I'll hand it off when we are ready to win with a quarterback and an infrastructure that shows we're being serious about winning on the football field. I think this is a great move for the Vegas Raiders, not because I expect them to win anything, but I just think we're going to get rid of all the badness, if you will, over the past few decades for the Raiders and set yourself up for the future. It's a horrible job to take if you expect to win, but it's not a bad paying gig, so go ahead and take it.
That's where you're cracking me up. Hey, what about the job? What about the roster? What about the football operations? Yeah. Don't worry, man. Yep. Have you seen Flamingo? It's a good time.
Correct.
How about the Excalibur? Yep. That thing is still opening since probably your last trip to Vegas.
Thunder Down Under, great show.
I mean, Pete looks like he could still be in that cast, by the way. Yep. But Dion, like, that's the funny thing that you just brought up, right? It does not seem to be a great job. So is Pete Carroll the fluffer? Is he the bridge gap to the next young and exciting head coach in 3 years? I mean, that's the way you. I mean, that's the way you sold the job.
I mean, that's the way it's got to be at this point. Look, get 2 years, turn it around. Just give me 2 years. Let's get some fundamentals in here. Let's get the right front office group, and then we'll be ready to win. And you'll go out and get that hot coordinator.
But it's not like college. It's not like Pete's going back to USC where he can kind of build his program that way. There is still a front office now with a new GM and John Spytek, but of course it would seem the inner workings and his hands involved in Tom Brady with an owner in Mark Davis who has continued to make bad decision after bad decision. Does Pete Carroll leave a culture behind that Joe Brady in 2 to 3 years takes over? It's not exactly as cut and dry as it might be able to be in college football where you can name your successor. So I get what you are saying. They need consistency. They need reliability. And even turning 74 in December, I believe Pete Carroll can instill that within an organization. But does that carry over after Pete Carroll leaves if he is just a Band-Aid? I'm not really sure it does.
But there are instances that we've seen in the past. Remember David Culley getting the job for the Houston Texans, and they fired him at the end of the year, and they go, by the way, we told him he's only getting 1 year here, but it's his dream come true to take an NFL coaching job there. Live out your dream. You're getting canned at the end of the year, no matter what you do. It feels like for Pete Carroll, it's like, boy, I just want to be back in the NFL. I know I can coach. And like, you know what? We're not going to sign a 5-year big time contract with a guy that's probably going to get bailed out after 2 years. But you do have a coach that's been around winning, that is a player's coach, that can set the foundation, which they haven't had in 25 years, on their way to winning. This job is not saying, if anybody had to say, man, Pete Carroll missing piece of the puzzle, I expect them to win that division. That division is so damn tough over the next couple of years. They'd be lucky to be 500. Yeah. They should throw a parade for the Vegas Raiders. He's just there as a place point to get that organization, get the proper people in the building, and then win once he's gone.
I mean, you got to be in the room meeting with Pete to give him this pitch as well. So
did
he actually
the
signs the contract. Pick six for Conference Championship Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We will get to our conference championship weekend pick six, I do promise you, but the breaking news that we brought you 10 minutes ago, where it seemed a rather shocking development that Pete Carroll and the Raiders were in advanced negotiations for Pete to become the head coach in Sin City. A deal was not done 15 minutes ago. It is now, literally 47 seconds ago on the timeline from ESPN's Adam Schefter, just in. Pete Carroll and the Raiders have now reached agreement on a 3-year deal with a 4th-year option. Pete Carroll is back in the NFL as Las Vegas' new head coach.
Yeah, when you're messing around with X sometimes, you get to get caught up. That's not Adam Schlechter at that point right now. It is Adam Schefter actually saying that Pete Carroll's the job there, because it is quite surprising that he got it. But as I said, I do think it's a good move here, because you just need to get some functionality back into that team. And I think Pete can be that guy who can sort of steady the waters, set them up for victories, and just wait out Patrick Mahomes, Herbert, and Bo Nix at this point. How about that, Ben?
I mean, I guess the, I don't know, 3-year deal.
They're not competing. Yeah. Nope. This team is not competing for anything. Perfect.
I agree. And I have talked about the Raiders before, right? We have both mentioned it when we were talking about hiring John Spytek and the arduous task he would have in building a roster and an organization in the front office to be competitive in the AFC West with all of the talent around Las Vegas in an organization that had largely been a failure despite its historic essence from AFL days, now in the National Football League. 2 winning seasons. That is it. Since a Super Bowl run in 2002. 2 playoff appearances, conveniently in those 2 winning seasons with Oakland / Las Vegas. Pete Carroll's got a lot of work to do. But as Donnie said, he's more, I guess you could look at it from this perspective, he is instilling winning ways in a franchise that in large part has not had any in the greater portion of the last 2 decades plus. 14 years. Pete Carroll guiding the Seattle Seahawks, a Super Bowl championship, another conference championship game appearance in there as well, in 13 winning records in 14 years. That is why you bring in Pete Carroll, even at the age of 73, to try to place a stable base in Las Vegas, if you will, with a new front office and, of course, a very well-known minority ownership stake in Tom Brady.
Yeah, and look, understand this. Like, when Eberflus was coming back for another year in Chicago, we laughed at that. When, you know, Raheem Morris got the job in Atlanta, it was like, ooh, I don't know if that's really going to work out in their favor. So we've been blasting head coaches and not liking those hires. I'm not doing that here. I think it's the perfect hire for a team that's expectations is we just have to get out of the gutter, and we might just be in the gutter by default because of how good these other coaches and organizations are right now above us. This is the perfect chance to sort of lay the foundation as an organization on the way up, and by the time you get good, because understand this, they didn't say this was our guy entire way through. They thought they could have had Ben Johnson on the hook, which meant like, hey, yeah, that guy's a generational coach from what we feel. I don't care what the prospects are, bring him in. The reason that Ben Johnson is in Chicago, he feels he can win better in that organization, and the quarterback is there. Well, now you pivot to, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's make sure we're doing the right thing for the franchise itself. And I believe the right thing is a guy like Pete Carroll just to calm the waters and set you up for future success.
And the quarterback is not there in Sin City. That will have to be addressed. Aiden O'Connell has been fine. I don't think he's the future of the franchise. The Raiders hold the 6th overall pick for the 2025 NFL draft right now, winning games at the end of the year that they probably shouldn't have to have a better opportunity to take a quarterback early in the first round of this upcoming April's draft. And they're going to need to figure out a lot on this roster. But just quickly, DRS, before we get to that pick 6, the 4 head coaches now in the same division in the AFC West. Andy Reid and the Chiefs, who have won the division now 9 consecutive seasons. Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. They made the playoffs in his first year. Sean Payton with the Broncos. They made the playoffs this year in his second season. First year with Bo Nix at the quarterback spot. And Pete Carroll now in Las Vegas. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll. That's a historic foursome, to say the least.
No, it certainly is. And again, competency on all sides of the brand out there. You're not looking at one of these things, ah, that's hilarious. This guy's not going to be able to compete. Now, granted, structurally from the foundation of these teams we're talking about, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Raiders. But again, nobody's looking at Pete Carroll. He's going to be an incompetent coach, and what are you doing? This guy's won it just about everywhere he's been and certainly is going to provide that much-needed guidance. Like, hey, God, there's one thing to be like, hey, an upcoming, you know, assistant coach. When you could sit in that room and be like, I've coached Hall of Famers. And understand this. John Snyder, the general manager in Seattle for a long time, along with Pete Carroll, built some of the best rosters in the sport, which should have had 2 at least Super Bowl champions as opposed to 1 at that point if you just hand the football off. But this isn't like, hey, Pete just comes in and tries to win. No, no. Pete's been to the pinnacle and understands what success is from an organizational perspective. That's what's the biggest part.
Big news out of Las Vegas. Again, on this Football Friday, 2 days away from Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League. The Raiders have hired a new head coach, but a very familiar name in NFL circles. Pete Carroll, after 14 years in Seattle, a year off in 2024, back in the National Football League as the Raiders' next head coach. All right, now time for the pick six for Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. Two games, four teams, two spots at stake in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. A slightly different pick six as we kind of move things around a little bit. Still a touchdown score, still our favorite yardage prop, still our favorite under of the weekend, an alt line with a sprinkle of plus money, but then an exact score prediction for both the AFC and NFC championship games. Donnie, right side, let's start with the guy you think is going to hit Pater. Who was your favorite anytime touchdown scorer of championship weekend?
A lot of really good players to choose from. A lot of guys you figure are going to be getting the football here in the red zone, but sometimes you have to look at price point. If you were to ask me who's the favorite one to get in, most people just say Saquon Barkley. Yeah, he's minus 310 and plus, depending where you're shopping and including the FanDuel Sportsbook. For me, it was simple. Opportunities inside the red zone, I think it's going to be Josh Allen. He was a plus 100 just a few days ago. He's now a minus 110. I still like that price point. If the Buffalo Bills will be competitive and look to win this football game, they're going to score some rushing touchdowns. At least one of those rushing touchdowns going to be from Josh Allen. Give me him at minus 110.
Two rushing touchdowns last week against Baltimore. Two rushing touchdowns in the divisional round a year ago against Kansas City. At least 68 rushing yards in all three playoff matchups against the Chiefs. I do believe he is going to utilize his legs as well. We talked about A.J. Brown just a little bit ago. Three grabs on 10 targets. That's it. For 24 yards so far in the two playoff victories for Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts' mobility and his effectiveness is going to be a huge storyline to monitor for Sunday in Philly. But I think he's going to be at least more mobile in the pocket, and Philly is going to air the football more than we expect. A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown to get back into the good graces of the offense in Philly. Putting down inner excellence and finding the end zone at a plus 140 price. DRS, favorite yardage prop of the weekend is who and in which game?
Buying extremely low at this point. DeAndre Hopkins, you take a look at him at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 24.5, had a terrible game last week. This is what we call buying low. If he was 89, 90 yards last week, oh, look at that. He's going to pay a premium. You're not going to do this here. You are going to have to throw the football against the Buffalo Bills, and if you're expecting close to 50 points, you must engage the Buffalo Bills, which means on the outside. We're not asking for a lot of yards. Heck, that might be two catches alone here. DeAndre Hopkins, look at the way he's performed throughout the season for Kansas City. He's always rated in that range, if not going over. I believe at one point, either 9 of 10 games or 10 of 11 having at least 20-plus yards receiving. I'll take him over 24.5 receiving yards. That's a low bar to clear, and I think he clears it.
Plays perfectly into my favorite yardage prop, which is KC's quarterback, of course, Patrick Mahomes. Over 249.5 passing yards. I'll give you the stats and the sample size and the reasons why based on history, with more history at stake. It's the Conference Championship Pick 6 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our Conference Championship Sunday Pick 6 live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. DRS, you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, over 24.5, a buy-low spot on a consistent wideout for Kansas City. It goes hand-in-hand with my favorite yardage prop of the weekend as well, Patrick Mahomes, over 249.5 passing yards. There is an idea that this Chiefs team is not exactly the one we have seen as of late. And I understand that. Not overwhelming on the offensive side of the football. Just 177 yards for Mahomes last week against Houston. But look at what he has done in AFC Championship games of old. Last year, 241. The only time he did not throw for at least 294 yards in his AFC Championship game life. and that features five previous games even before a season ago. Make it all 7 years he has been a starter, starting said AFC championship game. I think he goes over this number. I think we see some offense on Sunday in Arrowhead, and I think Patrick Mahomes is a big reason why Kansas City gets back to a third consecutive Super Bowl, but we'll talk about those final score predictions in just a little bit. I found it difficult, DRS, to find an under that I truly loved this weekend. Where did you go?
I went with a kicker, and I went with the narrative that you must be aggressive, be aggressive. You ever hear that chant on the sideline there from the cheerleaders? Yeah, they'll chant that out there. Tyler Bass, we don't need you to be aggressive this weekend. Under 6.5 kicking points, which means two field goals and one extra point would go over. But I'm playing this as we ain't settling for field goals if we're the Buffalo Bills. Sure, maybe a 51-yarder because we're not close to the end zone. If the Buffalo Bills get to the red zone with Josh Allen in fourth and short, and when I say short, fourth and three or less, they're going for it here. No doubt in my mind. If you want to slay that dragon that Kansas City is, kicking field goals isn't going to get it done. How about Tyler Bass under 6.5 kicking points for the Buffalo Bills?
I think it's a great look, DRS. A guy that has struggled at times, but has been pretty good here throughout this postseason run for Buffalo. But I would agree. I think you have to be aggressive. There is some thought that the Chiefs can't give you the offensive onslaught as in years past. So just keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. I think we have learned that the best guideline to beating Kansas City year over year, season over season, game over game in the most significant of them is outscore and outpace KC. Play from in front, and maybe the Chiefs are going to struggle to keep up. My favorite under, and again, it's not a favorite under, but it's the under in the second half between the Commanders and the Eagles of 23.5. I don't think this is a dead under 17-14 game, but I do think the Eagles will be in command. Yes, I guess, pun intended. And I do think Philadelphia limits what Jaden Daniels does offensively. And I think that will come to a close in the second two quarters. I actually do think it could be tight early. I think the Eagles start to extend late. And I do not think we see the uneasy final 5 minutes against Washington as we did last week against LA. I'll go under 23.5 in the second half of that NFC championship game. Alt line, who are you looking at?
It was either between A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. One catch for 30 yards, so the price point was a little bit better for Devontae Smith. So I went that way at a plus 280 price. He's done that four times this year already. And once again, you're trying to bet into the game script, not just because you like a player, thinks he might be able to get open deep. If you're selling out to stop the run and conditions are good for passing, which they will be in Philadelphia, the play action pass could be huge. One catch for at least 30 yards for Devontae Smith at a plus 280 price.
Donnie, I would love if, as you kind of predicted or alluded to, that early in the game, Philly goes, all right, you don't think Jalen Hurts is fully healthy? Watch this. Bomb. First play. Right there. Devontae Smith, and I bet Jalen Hurts over his passing yards number. That seems minimal at 179.5. I'm going to go alt line Saquon Barkley, 175 rushing plus receiving at a plus 220 number. Donnie, I don't think you should bet an under on Saquon Barkley's rushing yards prop this week. And if you are going to look at the over, 150 plus on the ground for Saquon is plus 180. But the reason I want to add up rushing plus receiving is I do agree that Saquon Barkley is going to be a factor in terms of what they do offensively, even if Jalen Hurts is healthier than we estimate. It's not like Saquon Barkley is going to have 14 touches in the game. He's going to flirt with 30. As he did last week in the division round against LA, went well over these numbers of 175 plus. In week number 16 against the Commanders, he didn't have any receiving yards, had 150 on the ground. In week number 11, big play Barkley for sure, 198 scrimmage yards. He's going to factor into this NFC championship game, especially if Philly is about to head to New Orleans for a Super Bowl 59 bid. Saquon Barkley, 175 plus rushing plus receiving at a plus 220 number. All right. Final score prediction time, DRS. Let's start in the AFC. AFC championship game in Arrowhead. The Chiefs, an ever so slight favorite by 26 cents on the money line and a total of 48.5 now. Who wins and what's the score?
It's the home of the Chiefs, of course. Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, 27-24. Game probably goes over the total, stays right around that number. But in the end, Kansas City will prevail because they are at home. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Andy Reid. That's where I went.
All right, NFC Championship game from you as well, as we send you into the money line in just a little bit. Will your birds join you in the Big Easy with a Super Bowl Lombardi Trophy at stake?
I think it'll be a good game here. Be right around that number. And how about this? The Philadelphia Eagles, 27. The Washington Commanders, 21. So if you're betting a team total for the Commanders, you cash in. And right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, if you're betting the Commanders, you cover your spread. Everybody wins. Eagles win. You win your bet. But the Eagles move on. Like, nobody loses. Nobody.
27-21 and slightly over our total on Sunday in Philadelphia of 47. And you will see Donnie Wrightside. There is no doubt about it. Come Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, a slightly earlier start for Pro Football Today on Conference Championship Weekend alongside Kevin Walsh and Joe Lisi. DRS, have a ton of fun on Sunday. We'll talk to you very soon.
Yeah, we're going to find out if Joe Lisi is able to make it to the desk Sunday. And also, the bigger question is, Kevin going to show up for work today on Moneyline? If he doesn't, I'll hold it down. We'll have a power hour like you've never seen before. But the questions are there. Will Kevin be there? We'll find out.
11 a.m. on Sports Grid Radio. We end out the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One last segment here this week on the early line to set the stage for Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Two games on Sunday, kicking at 3 p.m. Eastern time. It's our first matchup in the NFC Championship game between two divisional foes from the NFC East, the Eagles and the Commanders. Philadelphia, 6.5-point favorite total at 47.5. And then, of course, we go to our nightcap inside Arrowhead Stadium. A familiar scene, a familiar matchup. The Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, for a fourth time in the last five NFL postseasons, squaring off against one another, this time for a berth in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. A 1.5 spread in favor of KC. Now -122 on the money line. That is it. We are talking a quarter and then a penny of difference between those two prices on the money line for who is expected to win this game outright. The total stands at 48.5. Donnie gave you his final score predictions in that NFL Conference Championship Weekend pick six. I will now do the same. Donnie and I, very similar numbers. And as Donnie alluded to, and I will back up, I do believe Kansas City wins this game outright 28-24. I think it is great. I think it will be a playoff game that lives in the history and the lore of NFL postseason action, just like we have seen numerous times between the Bills and the Chiefs in the three previous matchups in the past four seasons. But ultimately, until somebody knocks Kansas City off that perch, I am not going to bet that somebody does it. Could Buffalo? Sure. But not just based on what KC has done in its own pedigree. Seven consecutive AFC Championship game appearances. Six of them at home in Kansas City. Four Super Bowl bids. Three Lombardi trophies, including the last two back-to-back. Kansas City is the team that looks completely different in every playoff game than anything we have seen throughout the regular season. And the Bills have the regular season number of the Chiefs. Kansas City, as you saw, that playoff number, the more important number in front of Buffalo. KC 28-24 in a game that I think features some more scoring than that total predicts at 48.5. I've already told you I think Patrick Mahomes and his passing yards prop, as you see there, is a big reason why. 249 and a hook. So what about the prediction for the first game of two on Sunday in the NFC title matchup? Jaden Daniels is not a rookie. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders are not a feel-good story, albeit unlikely that they are here. Washington is a bona fide contender. So when I tell you Philadelphia wins by double digits, it's not because I believe the Commanders are outclassed just based on where they enter this matchup. I had Philadelphia to win the NFC before the year. I'm going to stick to my guns. The Eagles win by 10, 27-17. I do think the Commanders' historic run comes to a close. As history tells us, at a certain point, even if it has been dramatic and historic, a rookie quarterback in a conference championship game for the sixth time ever in NFL playoff history, that is Jaden Daniels. But no rookie quarterback has led his team to a Super Bowl appearance. I don't think Jaden Daniels is a disaster. I don't think the Commanders look awful come Sunday. I just think Philadelphia is better. And I think the Eagles' defense reminds us why. 27-17, the Eagles get theirs. Jalen Hurts plays very well and I think looks better than we expect given that left knee injury. Saquon Barkley is a factor through the century mark for a third consecutive game this year against the Commanders and in the postseason. The Eagles' offense gives you enough, and the defense holds it down, especially in that second half. 27-17, Philadelphia wins. Fly, Eagles, fly to a Super Bowl bid in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. I bet the Eagles at the end of the divisional round game on Saturday between the Commanders and the Lions to win a Super Bowl. They are now the favorites entering championship weekend. I bet the Chiefs, as they were taking on the Texans last week, to win an AFC championship. Still believing that KC would host an AFC title game, and that is what we have. KC wins 28-24 in that AFC championship game. The nightcap on Sunday. The Eagles win comfortably 27-17 on Sunday. I think it is a great day of football, and I think it will set up a sensational Super Bowl matchup. I know one the public does not want to see, as it would be a rematch from just 2 years prior in Super Bowl 57, but it should be a good one nonetheless. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football. The Early Line returns Monday, 8 a.m. Eastern, here on SportsGrid.